different spot, and it's going to sound a little different because I know we're looking at the miracles of Jesus, but it's going to make sense in a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Paul is speaking. He says, even though I've received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Verse 8, 3 different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time. Thank you for this moment. Thank you, Father, for releasing a moment right now with your word, God, where we go beyond just hearing a message, hearing some ideas, but God, I pray that we will have an encounter with you that leaves us changed, that leaves us different, that leaves us empowered and encouraged and ready to take whatever steps of faith you have for us next in our lives. In Jesus' name, put your hand on your belly. Put your hand, if you're in the building or if you're online through Facebook or YouTube or wherever you're checking in today, you'd follow along with us. You're part of the family. Follow along with us right now. Pray with us as well. Say this. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you right now that you are making us, you are creating us, you are forming us into what you have called us to be, both individually and as a move of God in this community. In Jesus' name. Everybody said. This is one of those passages of Scripture that theologians over the years, for hundreds of years, have debated. There's been a big question among Bible nerds and theology nerds and academics. Many people have tried to dig in and decipher and break apart and figure out what is this thorn in Paul's flesh. What can we do some research? Can we pick it apart? Can we discover what the thorn in Paul's flesh was? Some people believe that Paul might be referring to some sort of temptation, some sort of sinful inclination that he was struggling with, and that kept tripping him up, and Jesus would say, "My grace is all that you need." And some people have believed that it might be some sort of physical ailment that Paul suffered. There's some documents and some historical data that suggest that Paul had an issue with his eyes that he had to deal with, and that perhaps this was the thorn in the flesh. Many of you guys who are married here today might be thinking, obviously, he had to be talking about his spouse, his husband or his wife, right? I mean, what greater thorn in the flesh is there that there could be possibly in your life? One brave soul, amen. Help him, Lord. But we actually know that there's no way that the thorn in Paul's flesh was a spouse because Paul is single. Paul writes earlier in Corinthians, he actually said to somebody, I wish you were as single as I am so that you could do more for God. Paul had already had that thorn removed from his flesh. Amen, somebody. So we know it's not that. We don't really know exactly what the thorn is, but here's what we do know. We know that when Paul is writing this, He's actually addressing some people in the Corinthian church. And Corinth is a city that Paul established a church and the Holy Spirit did a great work in. You can actually read about the establishment of that church in the middle parts of the book of Acts, around chapter 18, around there. God did an amazing work in Corinth. Thousands upon thousands of people were saved. It was a huge, huge, it was a mega church. It was a giant gathering of people. And so he's writing this letter, but there arose as Paul moved on and began to do other missionary work and began to establish other churches. Some people rose up in that church and began to question Paul's authority, question Paul's apostolic authority, and began to say, how can God be using Paul? Because Paul had all these issues, and they were pointing at Paul and going, man, you're struggling with this, you're struggling with that. Surely the servant of God, the man of God, the apostle, the prophet, the one that God wants to speak through us to us through, and the one that God is using, surely you wouldn't be struggling with all these issues. You wouldn't be having all these things. And so Paul is addressing that specifically. He's addressing specifically the idea that for God to use me, that means that I don't go through any struggle. I don't have any troubles. I'm not going to have any issues. That's an Old Testament kind of an old kind of vestige of Judaism and Judaic mentality there, that when God is blessing you, everything is okay. And so that is what Paul's dealing with. But here's what we're talking about today. And you read this, so I thought we were looking at the miracles of Jesus. Well, if you have the kind of Bible that has the letters of Jesus and the words of Jesus in red, you'll notice that this is Jesus himself speaking to Paul. Paul is relaying this moment that he has with Jesus, and it was so real, so relevant that Paul actually writes this as, so to Paul, this was Jesus working. This is another miracle of Jesus, amen? Jesus speaking to us and saying, my grace is all you need, is another miracle. And here's the thing, here's what I wanted to end this for with, why I wanted to end on this week. It was because I don't want us to miss the miracle of God's grace. What I mean is this, we hype up the miracle of Jesus. We pay a lot of attention and we talk about and we preach about the time Peter jumps out of the boat and walks on water. That's an amazing miracle. But we don't look, because Peter had a habit of jumping out of boats. I don't know what his deal was. But he jumped out of a boat, walked on water early in Jesus' life. After the resurrection, when Jesus shows up again on the shore of the Sea of Galilee after they've been fishing all night, the Bible says in the Gospel of John, you read this, that Peter jumps out of the boat again. Now, I don't know if Peter was expecting to walk on water again. I don't know if it was a thought in his mind. But we know that the Bible says that Peter didn't walk on water. He sank and then swam to shore. And we look at Peter walking on water and we go, oh man, what an amazing miracle of God. And we don't think about Peter swimming to Jesus as any sort of miracle at all. We talk about the time that an unexpected check showed up in the mail when we had a need in our life and there wasn't enough finances to take care of our needs, and all of a sudden God came through. And I'm not saying that is an amazing miracle. We look at that as a miracle and we talk about that and we testify about that and we post about it on Facebook, and we'll talk about it in testimony services. What we don't talk about is the time that no check showed up and nobody gave you any extra and no overtime was given, and somehow, some way, by the grace of God, you grinded through on ramen noodles and oatmeal and you made it and you're still here. We don't talk about that as being a miracle. You know, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. I've actually got it tattooed right here on my shoulder, with a picture of a tribal eagle. I'm such a cliche. I mean, what white male gym bro doesn't have some Chinese letters and some tribal artwork on him tattooed somewhere? I've got both. I got Chinese letters right here. I got tribal work right here. It's just what it is. And you know what? I don't even care. I still think it's awesome. I still love it. I still flex it in the mirror when I'm looking. I'm like, oh man, I love that. Okay, but I got a tribal eagle right here with the scripture reference, Isaiah 40, 31. It says they will mount up on wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They shall walk and will not faint, referencing those who trust in the Lord, who fear the Lord. They will mount up on wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and they will not faint. But here's the thing. We look at the mount. I think a lot of times we look at the mounting up on wings as eagles and we go, man, that's where we want to go. We want to mount up on wings as eagles. But here's the deal. It doesn't take any faith at all to be swooped up in the wings of an eagle and carried somewhere by God. What it takes, the greater faith. And if faith is the breeding ground of miracles, and if faith is what is required to produce and to see miracles in my life, then the reality is this. The greater miracle is not when God swoops down and takes care of me. The greater miracle is when I walk through it. Because it takes more faith to walk through something than it does to just be picked up by the wings of God and carried to wherever God's called me to be. Amen, somebody? Amen. And we need to not miss the miracle. And this is what's happening here. This is one of these miracles where Jesus is showing up in Paul's life and he says, son, this one you're just going to have to walk through. You're just going to have to walk this one off. You're just going to have to walk this one out. You're just going to have to walk through this. And you know what? I think the reality is that many of the miracles of Jesus in my life, many of the million little miracles we're going to see are ones that involve me just walking through some stuff. Amen, somebody? So Paul's answering these haters, these people that are challenging him. And he said, hey, look, he says earlier, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he says earlier, and he's talking to himself in the third person. I guess if you're the Apostle Paul, you're allowed to do that. Probably very few people in the world that should really be doing that. But Paul says, hey, he says, I know of a guy who was caught up to the third heaven and who saw great revelations, saw visions of heaven, things that cannot be described. Paul is saying, listen, I've seen some stuff. I've had some moments with God. I can tell you some stuff that God has shown me. I could come up here and say, this is what God has said. This is what heaven looks like. This is what God has said. But he says, I'm not talking about that stuff with you. And he says, because it's not that stuff. It's not how spiritual I am or how great I am or how many great revelations that God's given me. He said, that's not where God gets the glory. He says, what I'm going to boast about and what I'm going to talk about is the things that I need God to help me with. He says, I'm going to boast about my weakness because that's where God's strength comes from. Amen, somebody? You ever notice, I've noticed this, you know, people who have really seen some stuff, people who have really had encounters with God, people who really hear the voice of the Lord, they don't usually walk around going, God told me this, God told me that, God told me this all the time. Amen? Because when God speaks something to you, when it's really God's voice, man, sometimes that is so real, so intimate, so powerful that you don't even know how to describe what you've heard often. Amen, somebody? And when God finds someone he can speak to, he also is, that's usually somebody who knows how to keep their mouth shut until God says, now say something. Amen, somebody? That's a whole other thing, though. Paul shows up, he's saying, listen, I've got stuff, and this is what he says. This thorn shows up in Paul's life. This thorn shows up somewhere in Paul's life. And Paul says, I pray for it consistently. And in fact, he says, I pray for it three times, but in Greek writing and in Greek literature, that doesn't necessarily mean three times. It really just means I prayed for it constantly. I prayed for it consistently. I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and the thorn never went away. Nothing ever happened. The only thing that Jesus told me was, my grace is all you need. Turn to your neighbor and say, my grace is all you need. He says, my grace is all you need. Now, what is God's grace? God's grace is the very simplest definition of God's grace, is that it is God's favorable disposition and strength towards me. Okay? Favorable disposition. Is that too much? It means that God looks at me favorably. It means that God looks at me and smiles when he sees me. And when he smiles and sees me, he pours his strength out on me. In fact, that word, there's a word in there that says that word strength also can be translated in the word tent or shelter, which means that Jesus could have been saying, my grace is sheltering you. My grace is a tent over you. My when I look at you and my strength for you is me covering your life in every aspect of it. That's God's grace. And Jesus says, Paul, in this situation, in this thorn, I know it's annoying. I know it's terrible. I know it's painful. But you're going to walk this one out. But don't worry, my grace is sufficient for you, or my grace is all you need. Say it again, his grace is all I need. Now, there's a couple things I want us to understand from this moment that Paul shares in his personal life. The first thing is this. I want you to notice that God redeems the thorn. In fact, here's what I've noticed about the character and nature of God and how God works. I want you to understand this. Listen to me close. I'm learning and I'm seeing and I have seen over and over and over and over and over again in my life that God redeems more thorns than he removes. Can anybody testify to that? God seems to enjoy redeeming thorns in my life more than he often removes them. God will take the thorn. In fact, I don't want you to get this twisted. Paul never says that God sent the thorn. This, in fact, Paul says that this thorn was a messenger from Satan. This was a demonic attack. This, whatever this was, had its origin in the pit of hell, and it was Satan. It was demonic activity. It was hell that brought this against Paul's life. God did not bring the thorn into Paul's life, but what God said is, if a thorn finds its way into your life, I will redeem it and use it for my glory, use it for my purpose. Amen. God redeems more thorns than he removes. And if all I'm doing is waiting and looking and believing and praying for God to remove the thorn, I will often miss the miracle of grace where God redeems the thorn. Amen, somebody? God redeems more thorns than he removes. And now, how did God redeem this thorn in Paul's life? Paul said God redeemed this thorn. Here's what he did with it. He said, the messenger of Satan came against my life. And he said, this thorn was meant to distract me, was meant to hurt me, was meant to trip me up, was meant to get me off the path, was meant to destroy my life. Okay? And what did God do with the thorn? God didn't remove the thorn. He redeemed it. And here's how he redeemed it. God said, I'm going to take that thing that Satan has used to take you out, and I'm going to use that to keep you humble. You don't have to amen that. Because honestly, that's not the picture of redemption. You know what I mean? Like, when I think about God redeeming a thorn in my life, I think of God like taking that thing and using that to be an anointing that saves thousands. And I go and I pray for everybody else with the same thorn and God heals them, or some kind of big supernatural spectacular thing happens that I can talk about and write books about or whatever. That's the story in my mind when I talk about God redeeming the thorn. But God says, no, I'm going to redeem this by allowing this thing to stay in your life, and I'm not going to remove it, but I'm going to allow it to keep you humble, because I've shown you some wild stuff. I've spoken to you in ways that I have not spoken to anybody else alive on the earth today. I've put a great mandate and calling and anointing upon your life, Paul, and I'm going to use this thorn to be a source of, to keep you humble, to keep you depending upon me. Okay, I get it, God, that is your purpose and that's what you want, but that still doesn't feel very good, does it? That still doesn't help the thorn that's poking me in the side. That still doesn't take care of the pain and the issue of what I'm dealing with. I get that, God, you're redeeming it, but man, could you redeem it and it feel a little better? Here's what you got to understand. Listen to me close. Listen to me. Don't miss this, because this is a big mindset that we've got to break in our lives, and it's this. God turns what may not feel good into something that's good for me. And just because it doesn't feel good doesn't mean God's not redeeming it. Just because it doesn't feel good doesn't mean God's not doing good through it in my life. Amen, somebody? So there might be a thorn, there might be something I'm dealing with that I'm praying about consistently, and all I'm getting back is, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. And you're like, God, I need you to remove this thorn, and God is saying, I'm going to redeem the thorn. Well, don't think that just because God's redeeming it means that the thorn is going to be any less painful. Don't think that just because God's promised to redeem it doesn't mean it's going to necessarily feel good. What I do need to understand is that God can take things that don't feel good and still ultimately turn them for my good without them ever feeling good, not for a moment. Amen, somebody? God turns what may not feel good into something that's good for me. Because he redeems more thorns than he removes. Another thing we need to understand from this is this. God's grace shows up simply so that I can survive the thorn. Listen, don't miss this. Because I know we talk about being an overcomer. We sing about being an overcomer. We talk about being led in triumph in Christ, and that's true. Every promise of God is true. We are overcomers. Amen. We are more than conquerors in Christ. Amen, somebody? I'm not ahead. I'm not beneath. I'm ahead. I'm messing all that stuff up in Deuteronomy. I'm sorry. I'm going to quit even trying right now. We are overcomers in Christ. Amen? But listen. Sometimes victory is not me standing in the middle of the ring with my hand lifted high. I feel the Holy Spirit on this for somebody right now. Listen to me. sometimes winning isn't me holding up the trophy of victory at the end of the struggle. Sometimes winning is me simply being able to get up after I've been knocked down and take another step. Sometimes the miracle is not that I won, it's that I survived. Sometimes the victory is not that I got that I got a championship belt at the end of the battle. Sometimes the victory is that I was able to move on to the next fight and survive for the next thing and move on to the next step. Sometimes the victory is that I was able to get up and take another step. Sometimes the miracle is that I survived. And we spend so much time, I think, talking about, well, I've got the victory and we're overcomers. And yes, we are. But friends, sometimes being an overcomer means that I got knocked down and I simply got back up. Sometimes, because here's the thing, you say, well, that still hurts. And I still got a fat lip and I still got a black eye and I still got a bloody nose and my knees are scraped up from where I got pushed down. And I still endured some hardship and some pain. And I still endured some loss and I still had some tragedy and I still dealt with some issues. But listen to me. Jesus said that the thief came in John chapter 10 to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So if that is the end game and the end goal and it didn't happen, I won. If the thief intended to take me out and I'm still standing up, I won. If the thief intended to rob me of everything that God ever put in my hand and I've still got something to hold on to, I may have lost a few things, but I'm still holding on to faith. I'm still holding on to Jesus. I've still got my family. I'm still able to go to work. Then guess what? He didn't win. I did. Come on, somebody. If I lost some stuff and some stuff got torn down, but even if there's just enough to begin to rebuild, even if there's just one rock left over at the end of my struggle with which God can use to redeem and rebuild something within my life, then Satan didn't win. I did. And sometimes the miracle is simply that I survived to take the next step. How many are thankful for the miracles that have taken place in your life that you're able to survive? Come on, somebody. How many are thankful for the thorns that God has redeemed? And maybe you didn't feel like a winner, but you took another step. I got news for you. You won. You survived. You're still here. And I got news for the devil. He should have killed me when he had the chance. Because if you let me get back up, I'm going to get a fresh word in my heart. I'm going to begin to speak that out of my mouth. And I'm going to do more damage and do more glory for the kingdom of God than you ever thought possible. Amen, somebody. Oh, I'm thankful I survived. Amen. I'm thankful I'm still here. I'm thankful I didn't get taken out because the miracle showed up in the fact that I survived. God's strength, listen, I'm almost done. God's strength is not dependent upon my strength. I think sometimes I know I'm guilty of projecting my struggle with God's. I'm struggling, so God is struggling. You know what I mean? It's hard for me. So imagine if it's hard for me, I guess it's hard for God, or else God would be taking care of it. This thorn is difficult for me to endure, so this must just be something that God's having trouble with. Friend, we have got to remove all of those thoughts and rebuke all of those thoughts out of our minds. Listen to me. This is what Jesus teaches Paul through the struggle of this storm when he says, my grace is all you need. This is the miracle of grace. He says, my grace is all that you need. I know you think you need this thorn to be removed, but what you need is my grace to get you through this season of this storm. And he says, because after that, here's what happens. My power is being released. My power is showing up, not where you're strong. Jesus said, my power is showing up, not where you've got it all together. Jesus said, my power is showing up, not where you got it all figured out. Jesus said, my power is showing up, not where you don't have a struggle, not where there's no thorns, not where there's no pain, not where there's no issues, not where there's no temptations, not where there's no stuff that you are pulling your hair out, can't figure out. Jesus says, my power is showing up in your weakness. Whew, I'm preaching this thing this morning. His power shows up, not where you're strong, but where you're weak. And that means this. That means this. God, get this. That means this. This is going to set somebody free right now. God does not need me to be strong for him to be strong. God does not need you and me to have it all figured out and have it all together in order for him to show up, show off, and show his glory in our lives. God is not dependent upon my strength in order for him to be strong. In fact, it looks to me that just the opposite is true. God is saying, I've been waiting. I've been waiting, Paul. I've been waiting, Paul. I've been waiting, Red Life Church. I've been waiting, Kennedy. I've been waiting, Cody. I've been waiting, Terry. I've been waiting for a moment when you'll realize you don't have an answer, when you admit that you are weak and you are frail and you are beaten up. I've been waiting for you to give me your weakness so that I can pour out my strength in that area. Stop assuming that for God to be strong, you need to be strong. What needs to happen is I need to get to the point of my weakness. I need to give to the point of my weakness. I need to sow to the point of my weakness. I need to serve to the point of my weakness. I need to get to the point where I don't have anything left. And that's where God's glory and God's strength shows up. His power is made perfect in my weakness. Amen, somebody? So if you're feeling weak today, if you got some thorns you've been dealing with today, if you got some areas of struggle you've been dealing with today, if you got some areas of doubt you've been dealing with this week, if you've been praying, Lord, help my unbelief, I believe, but Lord, help my unbelief this week, like we talked about last Sunday. If you're showing up and you got some things and some issues you're dealing with, guess what? Those are precisely the issues where God's strength and his grace is being poured out in your life. Anybody experienced some areas of weakness the last couple of years? Amen, somebody? Guess what? Guess what? And see, the world, even the church world, these are Christians that are debating this with Paul that he's dealing with. We'll look at your weakness and dismiss you and decide, well, God surely can't use you because of that. Look at that thorn. Look at that pain. Look at that struggle. Look at that weakness. Look at that temptation. Look at that issue. Look at that addiction. Look at that hang up. Look at that hurt. Look at that. Look at all this stuff. Look at how. No. Surely God can't work. Surely God can't bless. Surely God can't anoint. Surely God can't use a vessel like that. You might even look at yourself in the mirror and saw the long list that everyone else sees. And you're thinking, man, that weakness, that thing, that's something I got to hide. That's something I got to keep away. That's something I've got to stay hidden. That's something I can't let anybody know about. That's something I can't talk about. That's something I can't even pray about. Oh. And what God is saying to Paul here is that's exactly the area I want to pour my strength through. And what that does in Paul's life is he says, you know what I'm going to do? Sure, I've seen visions and revelations, and sure, I've had great encounters with Jesus, and sure, I've heard the voice of the Lord. But Paul says, I'm not going to even talk to you about that. He says, I'm going to talk to you about my weakness. Because it's in my weakness that I've seen God's strength. It's in my weakness I've seen God show up. And there is this genius here in the Word of God that I absolutely love. This is why we know that no man could have written this book. There's many reasons, but this is one of them. Because listen, there is such a genius in the New Testament. There is such a genius in the New Testament of Paul not naming his thorn. The genius in the Word of God of the Lord never really revealing to us specifically what the thorn in Paul's side was, is that it gives you and I the ability to receive God's grace for whatever our thorn is. See, if Paul said, I had this thorn in the Lord and the enemy was attacking my body physically, then what we would do is we would go, well, we know that God's grace can cover physical attacks from the enemy. If Paul said, I got this thorn, I'm dealing with this temptation, I got this habit that, man, I just can't seem to shake, I pray about it and I ask God to forgive me, and it still attacks my life, and I feel ashamed and I feel guilty about it, and I don't know about this thorn, but we would say, well, then Jesus' grace is good enough for my sin and my failure and the addictions and the habits and the hurts and the things that keep tripping me up, and we would know that. If Paul said it was a relationship and a struggle and a conflict, we would have said, well, God's grace can show up in conflict and in relationships. And God, but he just leaves it completely blank. He says, I just had this thorn. He said, I'm not going to name the thorn, because if I name the thorn, you'll only receive God's grace for that same thorn in your life. And the genius of this is God is saying, and Jesus is saying, and the miracle of this moment is that it allows us to receive God's grace and to know that no matter what my thorn is, I can receive God's grace for me. What does he say? He says, my grace is all you need. This is a personal moment between Jesus and Paul. In fact, you know what we need to do? I'm going to take my pen out, and you can do the same thing, or if you got it on the phone, highlight this. You know what? You need to circle the word you, and you need to write that real big somewhere in your Bible. I'm doing it literally right now in mine. You, so that you know that this isn't just for Paul. This is personal for me. Amen? If you got a Bible that's too holy to write in, put it under glass, and look at it on the kitchen table, make it a nice little conversation piece, and then go to Walmart, buy you a real cheap Bible on Amazon, get you a $20 Bible that you can write up and mark in. Don't worry about it, man. Because this miracle of grace, God, this miracle of grace, it's not just all Paul needs. It's not just enough for Paul and his thorn. It's enough for me and all of my thorns. And his grace is enough for you, whatever your thorn is. Stay in the Lord's place this morning. Our eyes for a moment, just as a way to block out distractions, just as a way to take a personal moment of inventory, just let the Holy Spirit speak to us. You might be watching at home. If you're with us online today, I just encourage you right now to just quiet everything down as best you can. Because this is what I really feel like for this moment. I just feel like God, I feel like the Holy Spirit is here, and he wants to release, that's the wrong word. I feel like the Holy Spirit is here, and he wants to cover your life with the grace that you need. I don't know what your thorn is. I don't know what Paul's thorn is. What I do know, oh God, what I do know is that his grace is all I need. God, it would be great if you removed this thorn, But if you don't, if you choose, if this is a thorn that you choose to redeem instead of remove, Lord, I know your grace is enough for me. I know your grace is all that I need. How many need an out? If you need an outpouring of God's grace in your life right now for something you're dealing with, I want you to lift your hand right now in this room. Lift your hand all over this room. Keep it up for a moment. Keep it up, keep it up, keep it up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, release that grace right now. Come on, right where you are in your seat, just begin to receive that grace right now. Lord, we receive that. Just get some to make that prayer personal. If you want to get personal with God and talk about the thorn, go in and name it. Say, God, I receive your grace for that thing. I receive your grace for that thorn. I receive your grace for that relationship. I receive your grace for that struggle. I receive your grace for this very specific thorn, this very specific situation, God. I receive your grace for that right now. Lord, pour out your grace right now. Pour out your grace right now in Jesus' name. Lord, cover us with your grace. Jesus, I pray that each and every one of us would hear your voice speak to us as personally as you spoke to Paul right now in this moment. God, let us hear you say, your grace is all that we need. Let us hear that right now, God, deep in our soul, not just in our ears with me saying it. Holy Spirit, speak that to each and every one of our hearts right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I feel impressed to pray with some of you this morning. If you raised your hand, you got a situation where you need grace to be poured out. You're believing for a specific grace for a thorn in your life. I want you to get out of your seat and move to this altar this morning. I just want to agree with you in prayer, man. There's nothing great or special about me, but I do know that there's power in agreement, and I believe God wants to release that in your life today. Come on, just get down here. Man, let's begin to pray. Just begin to seek the Lord. Let's just let the Holy Spirit move and minister for a few moments this morning. As you come, just begin to pray. Lift your hands, begin to worship. Go ahead, worship team. Pray for these. If you want to come up and pray with these or get behind these guys, lay a hand on their shoulder, that would be wonderful.